This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and it is presented by Hooters. For the 4 years of this podcast, Hooters has been presenting sponsor for the last three football seasons. My thanks to Hooters, both locally and, of course, the Hooters brand around Florida, around the United States, and around the world. Also, I give a nod to Sean Sullivan and all the wonderful people at the dealership that has been taking care of generations of Tampa Bay residents when it comes to their needs. In the Ford family, Bill Curry Ford, they took good care of me about a month ago when I had some service issues on my Ford Focus. Thank you, Sean Sullivan. Thanks to everybody in the service department. Sean Sullivan plays in one of the fantasy podcast leagues, had the big win over the Sage, Ira Kaufman, in week one. And Sean, thank you for participating. Thank you for your support. Remember, my email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Two things as it relates to emails, please understand. Yes, I have responded to every email the last 3 years. Just keep these two things in mind. One, I have said for a couple years now, I don't have time to respond to emails on Sunday morning. I am commissioner of four leagues. I have all the podcast leagues to commission and my own personal foundation league. In addition, I'm trying to win in fantasy football as well. In addition, I run golf tournaments. A golf tournament I'm running is a week from Sunday. In addition, I play some golf on Sunday mornings once I handle my fantasy business. Get out in front of any potential issues as best you can. The deadline for emails as it relates to Sunday action is before you go to bed Saturday night. Because I promise I'll go to bed after you. I stay up late watching college football, even lousy college football Saturdays like last Saturday, where the only thing that was really worth watching to me was Clemson giving Syracuse the ass-kicking it's deserved for 3 years, especially after Syracuse flopped in Maryland, and then Maryland had the obvious letdown game the next week, also Saturday, at Temple. So that's one thing on the emails. Second thing, when you email me and I respond, that's the end of it. That's what I have time to do. I give you my response. You can use it or dismiss it. It's a second opinion. A couple people recently have come back at me via email and basically said, but, and then want me to respond to another email. Probably not going to happen. I gave you my answer. You can use it or you can dismiss it. It's just a second opinion. But I have time to respond to you once. Now, if you want to email again a day or two or a week later with a more unique question, I will answer it. But please respect, I give you one response. And I do it via email so we can talk one-on-one. That's why I don't do it on Twitter. I do have a Twitter account, but you never hear me promote it. Why? Because I only use it for the followers on there to promote golf tournaments, podcasts, television appearances. That's it. When I answer your fantasy questions, it's just you and I talking. That's it. No one else should share our information. You are welcome all to follow me on Facebook. I don't mind. I post more on Facebook and Instagram than I do anywhere else on social media, and it's not a lot. It's just promoting my golf tournaments, my wonderful sponsors and partners with podcasts and golf tournaments, and other occasional things. It's Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida on Facebook. And on Instagram, I'm at ToddWright2019. Remember my appearance Thursday, every Thursday morning, generally 10:30 a.m. Eastern, 7:30 a.m. Pacific, with the great Gil Alexander. Numbers game on VEASAN, also available on Sirius XM. I'll answer a lot of Gil's fantasy questions every week. And I get a number of you listening to the podcast because of Gil Alexander. I am a huge fan of the Musburger family, of Gil Alexander, and what VEASAN does. They were totally ahead of everything that has been changing in the gaming industry. with what they are doing on the network. All right, so as we speak, 12 noon is the time I am recording this podcast. Cam Newton, word is he aggravated the foot injury, and I'm wondering if that's a spin because of how bad he stunk in the Thursday game against the Buccaneers. We first heard about this foot injury in week 3 of the preseason. It scared people with the second overall pick in the draft to go with Kamara instead of McCaffrey because of what happened on Thursday night. With Cam Newton not playing effectively, a smart defensive coordinator gangs up on Christian McCaffrey. Now, for those of you that are Christian McCaffrey owners, yeah, I'd be worried. But at the same time, he's still Christian McCaffrey. He doesn't come off the field. He plays as hard as anybody. But yeah, I'd be worried at this point that what you saw out of Le'Veon Bell on Monday night with the Jets, considering they don't have a capable quarterback to keep defensive attention off Bell and every down running back, you could have concerns about that with McCaffrey going forward. I still think of the two of them going forward, McCaffrey clearly, just as was in the draft, has significantly more value. We'll get to more Le'Veon Bell coming up. Let's talk about the Giants changing quarterbacks. It took all of a couple of weeks. I have said from the beginning, I think Daniel Jones is going to be fine. I think this is going to work out for the Giants. Maybe Giants fans didn't like that the Giants took him so early, but I think Jones can play in this league. There's a lot to like about him. So Jones will go on Sunday against the Buccaneers. And sure, Todd Bowles will make it as difficult as he can against a rookie quarterback. But also, here's the problem now for Todd Bowles and the Bucs. What kind of film do they have on Jones? They have no regular season film. All they have is some preseason possessions. That's it. That's all they got. It's kind of like, dare I make a baseball analogy? But when I followed baseball and covered it in my 17 and a half years on national radio, I talked to some wonderful people on a regular basis, like 2001 World Series hero Luis Gonzalez of the Arizona Diamondbacks. And one of the things that I asked Luis many years ago was, give me a situation that's very difficult for you to prepare for as a hitter. And he said, facing a pitcher who's never pitched before in the majors. We don't know what's coming, especially the first one or two at-bats. We're blind up there. It's the same, in a sense, with some defensive coordinators because they just don't have very much to go on. So if you are a Saquon Barkley owner, this is good news because Jones does create at least the opportunity for an improved passing game that may prevent defenses from keying in on Barkley. Now, Barkley has still put up good numbers the first 2 weeks. I know I own him in our Moneyball League. He was my first overall pick in a league where I had no other draft picks. I took him number one. And I'm content with him. But I think this is good news for Saquon Barkley owners. Let's talk about Kansas City. Red hot offense, and suddenly the only constants are Mahomes, love the State Farm ad, by the way, and Travis Kelce. Now, I told you last week on the Fantasy Podcast, as it related to Tyreek Hill, you definitely hang on to him, just like people are going to hang on to Drew Brees. When you get a six-week designation on a QB1, an RB1, or a wide receiver one, even if your league does not have an injured reserve, they are worth the spot on the bench. Keep them there because When they come back, if the time frame is accurate, you still have regular season games to play and playoff games to play. So that's how you treated Tyreek Hill. And I also said, look, Tyreek Hill, of those 6 weeks, roughly three of them were going to be Travis Kelce games. I've owned Hill. I've owned Kelce. They go back and forth having big games. It's just what the Chiefs do. They did it before Mahomes. They did this in the Alex Smith era. McCoy going for an MRI. Those of you who drafted Williams as an RB1, you already know. I've spent a lot of time on the podcast about how the Chiefs use him. He's not really a true running back. He's kind of the Chiefs' Chris Thompson, but more explosive and on a better team. So Darwin Thompson, who was someone even I threw a late draft pick at in one of my leagues, he may get some time this week. But there are just so many balls in play right now in the Chiefs' backfield. It's kind of like the Patriots' backfield, where you don't know week to week, is Sony Michel going to produce the points? Is Rex Burkhead going to do it? Do I stick with Mr. January and James White, Belichick's teacher's pet? Due to these injuries and sort of the weird spot the Chiefs are at on the roster since they, you know, cut Kareem Hunt, which they weren't prepared to do. They did it because they felt it was the right thing to do. They're just trying to figure it out on the fly here. And it could be in flux going forward. I think all three of those guys have value to own. It's just, when do you start them? And the same is sort of the case with the wide receivers. You know, you've got Watkins had the big week one. Then Robinson has the big week two. Could be Hardman in week three. So again, the only real constants are Mahomes and Kelce. But sure, if you can get a piece of the Chiefs offense on waivers, take it. It's just going to be tough where you make the call week to week on who to play, when to play. All right, let's talk about Drew Brees a little bit more. Again, you're not cutting Drew Brees. Also, for those of you owners trying to take advantage of Drew Brees owners and send them your backup quarterback, and you're going to try to get a running back one in exchange, no, a smart owner will not do that. It's why quarterbacks are drafted later than RB1s and wide receiver ones. It holds up in the trade market as well. Now, if you have Lamar Jackson and Aaron Rodgers, or you have, it's another good one, Lamar Jackson and, no, I'll give you another one. You have Deshaun Watson and Dak Prescott. All right, I'm giving you two realistic scenarios here where I can see there were owners who drafted Aaron Rodgers and then drafted Lamar Jackson as a backup. I can see that there were owners that drafted Deshaun Watson and then drafted Prescott to be a backup. Owners with those two, you may have something here, but don't expect an RB1 in return. No, a smart owner will not give you that. I would say you can always ask for anything, but you might be best asking for a wide receiver 2/3 or a running back 2/3. Don't expect wide receiver 1 or RB1 value in return just because you have two good, healthy quarterbacks and he lost Drew Brees or he lost Ben Roethlisberger. Because you know what he can do? He can just go to the waiver wire. And he can pick up Andy Dalton. And he can pick up Matt Stafford. Or he could pick up Jameis Winston. Or he could pick up Josh Allen. Those are all names that could get him by. Now, have Prescott and Jackson been producing more points? Sure, but he doesn't get those points. Those were points gone while that player was on your roster. Teddy Bridgewater is the highest paid backup quarterback in the National Football League. The Saints went out of their way to keep Teddy Bridgewater, who appeared headed elsewhere to compete for a starting job. Let's see if they get what they pay for. Because he didn't look very good. Was he prepared? No, I mean, the last time we had a situation where a quarterback wasn't prepared to play was that NFC Championship game between the Packers and the Bears. And Collins comes in for Cutler and admitted later he didn't study. He didn't study the game plan. He didn't pay attention in meetings. And the Bears ended up benching Collins, putting in their emergency quarterback. Was that Caleb Haney? And Haney nearly pulled it off. And of course, the minute you put in your emergency quarterback, the other two become inactive. That's how bad Collins was. Was Bridgewater prepared? He sure didn't look it to me. And granted, the Saints got screwed again in that game with that nullified scoop and score on the defensive side. Yeah, if I was Sean Payton, I am getting to that point where if this happens again, I'm just pulling my team off the field, sending them into the locker room, walking over to the referee and saying, you talk to New York. Either you get this right or we're done today. Because the results just keep sucking for the Saints. And that's the only way you're going to correct this shit. So from a Breeze standpoint, yeah, I think if you're a Michael Thomas owner or an Alvin Kamara owner, you are worried a bit. It just played out for three quarters against the Rams. Sure, the Rams have the best defensive player in the game, and they have other good defensive players as well. But even with a full week of practice, I don't know that this gets better. Sean Payton kept Teddy Bridgewater. Now he's got to get something out of Teddy Bridgewater for 6 weeks. Otherwise, you wonder if Eli Manning is headed to New Orleans to keep things warm until Drew Brees comes back. Would that even interest Eli? You know, basically, you're coming in to play six, seven games, and that's it. But at least you're going to a team where you might have an opportunity to get a Super Bowl ring, which is why I don't think Eli would have any interest in the Steelers. I said about the Steelers last year, they were Fifth Harmony. And you saw what happened to Fifth Harmony, and it's happening to the Steelers. And now Big Ben is out. You know, they have the rookie in there, Rudolph. They traded Dobbs away. Bell is gone. Brown is gone. Big Ben is out. Yeah, if you invested RB1 in Connor, wide receiver 1 in Juju, you're really worried at this point. Good luck finding the owner in your league that will give you value for those two guys. That was the draft value. You know, that reminds me of the Mark Cuban line about Shark Tank. You come into the Shark Tank looking for the sucker. And if you can't find one, the sucker is you. Philadelphia. Ooh, that didn't work out for me the other night. I flipped a running back off my bench for Alshon Jeffrey, threw him immediately into my starting lineup, and he was out of the starting lineup in one possession with a calf injury. 0 points, and I lose Moneyball Week 2 to John because I had Matt Ryan, but John had Julio Jones. So when Matt Ryan throws a long touchdown to Julio Jones, nice audible, but I'm sure Dirk Cutter had something to do with that. John gets more points because the wide receiver gets more points on a play like that than a quarterback gets on a play like that. That's just the way fantasy works. For Philadelphia, that's messy as it relates to DeSean Jackson's groin, Alshon Jeffrey's calf, Carson Wentz was in and out of the game, Miles Sanders hasn't been able to break out. Nelson Aguilar is out there on waivers. He has value just because if Jackson and Jeffrey can't go this week, Aguilar will get targets. It will be Aguilar and Ertz. That seems about all Wentz has to throw to. Jacksonville. I'm not rooting against Gardner Minshew at all. But what is this Minshew mania? Someone want to explain it to me? What's the Jags record? Anyone with Jaguars getting a lot of fantasy points? So what's the mania? I don't understand. Someone needs to explain this to me. The Jags are losing games, and owners of players like Fournette and Dede Westbrook are not getting fantasy points. So what is the mania? And is this a possible destination for Eli Manning? I don't get it. San Francisco, with a 2-0 record. Yes, I'm calling it 2-0. And for those of you saying, hey, they're 2-0, yeah, the Bucs were 2-0 last year too. How'd that work out? How'd that work out for the head coach? How'd that work out for their, they were an afterthought by November. Let me remind you who the Niners beat the first 2 weeks. The Buccaneers on two Jameis Winston pick sixes and the Cincinnati Bengals with Joe Mixon on one leg. That's who the Niners beat. So if you want to go nuts over Matt Breida and Raheem Mostert and Deebo Samuel, you go right ahead. You go right ahead with it. Go ahead and run with it. But yeah, I call the Niners 2-0. Look closer. And finally, I made the analogy from Christian McCaffrey to Le'Veon Bell. It was painful to watch a great player in Le'Veon Bell wasted in that Monday night game against the Browns. That Monday night game was brutal. I mean, as bad as, you know how annually the league shoves a Jags-Titans game on Thursday night when it's only on NFL Network because their fan bases are so small, and that's the Thursday game this week before the Thursday package blows up and goes to Fox in week four. That was brutal on Monday. And I'm telling you, Baker Mayfield and the Browns look sloppy. As sloppy as their head coach looks. They got some work to do. It just confirms to me that ain't the guy for the job. The head coaching job. Nope. But yeah, Le'Veon Bell. Now, I said it. The red flags on Le'Veon Bell. And I kept getting pushback from Le'Veon Bell apologists saying, he's the same Le'Veon Bell. And look, he is playing virtually every snap. Now, he didn't on Monday night. They did get in Ty Montgomery. And why wouldn't you, considering what was going on there? But it was more than just who Le'Veon Bell was. It was that Le'Veon Bell was leaving a situation that for years had benefited him with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And suddenly he was in a situation where a lot could go wrong. And that lot going wrong has gone very wrong. And it's not Le'Veon Bell's fault. But for those of you that ignored the red flags and drafted Le'Veon Bell to be your RB1, dare I say it serves you right. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. And we thank Sean Sullivan of Bill Curry Ford for his support and participation in Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Leagues. Remember, the email address is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. We'll talk to you next time.